it now, say now. You're tuned in to the Wake Up and Win podcast, and I am your host, Devon Pouncey. We are here at the Momentum Studios. Myself, Spencer Shea, D-Boy made an appearance. How about it?
I'm in here, baby.
D-Boy made an appearance, yeah. So you know, a lot is going to be said here
today.
There's
too much to talk about.
It's a lot to talk about. We're going to get to a bunch of it. We're going to kick it off with how you fellas doing.
Killing. I'm doing great. It was such a nice last, 5 days here in Portland, man. And I love the rain, as is well known, so I'm happy right now, too. It's
allergies already catching up with me. I could tell with the change of weather. I could hear it.
I am medicated as we speak.
This guy, too. Oh, especially you know.
He gets
wrecked.
Oh. Hey,
I've never seen anybody get wrecked by allergies
on the
as
way.
Bad as
he
Devon.
Gets wrecked.
I went
it's
to the... I've had no choice. I am currently medicated as we record. Smart. And I went to the Cherry Blossoms. I went to the Cherry Blossoms. Which is like a hellhole for me and my allergies, but I've been medicated, so it was
Normandy Beach,
it was Zyrtec versus Cherry Blossoms, and straight up, and I could feel like the medicine fighting my allergies from wanting to go ape shit.
That's crazy. Well,
like I could feel it in my body, like oh, my body wants to react to these Cherry Blossoms like crazy right now, but. The Zyrtec is hanging in there.
Well,
you know?
I need to go get me some Zyrtec.
Yeah, man. You got to take it every day.
Right, I'm cool.
And you got to take it every day. But the weather, it's not even raining a bunch yet, but it will start here soon. That'll wash all that pollen right away, and I'll be back in the game in no time. But I'm going to keep medicating, though, because I already saw from this little five-day stretch that once this weather changes for real, oh boy, it can get ugly in a heartbeat.
So bear with us today, because it's going down.
But we here. Got some win shares for y'all. Got the double header on the ones and twos this Friday. I will be at Star Pizza from 6 to 9, and then I'll be at Lulu from 10 p.m. until late. And then we back at the rooftop this Saturday. I told y'all last week we're at Export Rooftop Bar and Lounge for the rest of the Saturdays in March. Yes, it's 5 of them this month. So I'll be back there this Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight. Real good vibes up there. Good music, slapping, you know. And, of course, it went really well this past Saturday with the weather. It was rooftop weather, so it worked out great. But pull up. It's going to be good vibes wherever you catch me spinning. And that is what I got. No games this weekend. College is done, so I get to just watch now. You know, it's March Madness. It's that time of the year. But next weekend, we got our last slate of home games for the Rip City Remix, and they're currently in the mix trying to get to the playoffs, man. So following them as they're on the road, of course, and waiting for them to come back home to close the season out, hopefully above that playoff line.
Had a big win last night.
It was a big one last night.
Looking pretty good,
It was
man.
A big one last
Looking
night.
Pretty
and,
good.
And had a tough one a couple days before that. We played against the Stockton Kings, who are currently the first-place team in the Western Conference. And lost to him by 2 in overtime. You know, you get to that target score. Tied 99-99 at the end of regulation. 7 points is the target score, so the first team to 106. And we had our chance to get to 106 first. Didn't get some shots to go late, and they were able to get it done and beat us 106-104. So tough loss, but a good bounce-back win. Back above the playoff line just like that. These standings are changing. The race
does
is so Ford tight.
Does Ford get home court?
Four does. So it's the top 6 seeded teams go. Teams 1 and 2 get a bye in the first round. And then 3 host 6, 4 host 5. And then, of course, the winner of the 4-5 game will go play at the 1 seed. And the winner of the 3-6 game will go play at the 2 seed and is high seed host. And, yeah, it's that time.
It feels like 4. That's gonna be my official.
That's what I do want to call a playoff game. I do want to call a playoff game. So if we host, of course, it would be real dope. I think the city and the community would come out, especially you know with it being the first year, the inaugural season, and quite frankly, the Blazers aren't doing that great. So this will give the city something to come out and really root for and cheer for and get behind in its inaugural season. I think it would be dope if we could host a playoff game this year.
We need that.
We need that.
We need that.
We need that for sure. Y'all got win shares?
Nah, we here. We chilling.
Everything's on the tuck right now.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going to have an announcement here probably in the next, probably on next episode.
Oh, y'all out here just being artists.
Yeah. Well, trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We working.
Yeah.
So, a lot of stuff in the works. We got 10 days of rain coming up, so like I said, we about to turn the corner and get busy. So
this right guy now, right here, has been Mr. Content Man as of late. Have you seen him? Have you seen him, Spencer?
I have one, but I did get an Instagram, spliff_1, but I don't go on it.
You might should check this guy out. He'll teach you the blueprint of how to post content. He posts reels every day out here. He in the real game for real now.
It's cool to see it. It's been just like throw it out there, you know, just forget the results, just throw it out there. And it's been cool. And people been seeing it. And it's dope just being around town. And people like, oh, I see you doing it. It's just the impact. You see the reach real quick. People are watching. If you're putting yourself out there, people do see it and it come full circle. So I've been Mr. Content Man.
I'm going to jump on Instagram and check that out.
The key is consistency, baby. I got to stay consistent with
how them algorithms treating you.
Oh, it's better. Obviously, you see the, like, you see the interaction. You get insights now. So you see everything positive green. Percentages go up. So you see that it's being seen. It works. So it was tricky at first. As it was slow, you're not getting seen. Then you see the story numbers go up. You see the post numbers go up. So it is really about being consistent. If you one and done every few days, even every few weeks, you could forget about it.
I mean, you got to fill that infinite scroll somehow.
It's an infinite scroll, too.
It's an infinite scroll. It's an infinite scroll. Yeah. And the key is, like, everything don't got to be extraordinary. It's just, like, show people. You get what I'm saying? It's like, if you're on the golf course, make that 12 seconds want to be revisited and recent. You know what I mean? It's like, in here, let make that 30 seconds of conversation.
Here's a win share. Like, I have tied my personal best at Pier Park twice in the last like 2 weeks.
See?
And I'm like, oh shit, that might be like where my general mark is now. And so now I'm just stepping closer to getting to scratching that course, because once I do that, I'll feel like I beat disc golf.
And how long have you been into that?
Man, for a long time, since high school, but then I took a really long
break. But you jumped back serious more recently, the past 3 years.
I would probably say like 21.
Yep, right? Yeah. Pandemic, like post-pandemic. That. Yeah. That's cool.
Was the pandemic the reason why you jumped back into it?
No, I had already actually been watching it because the content, it's funny enough.
Yeah.
The content got crazy on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was. Back in the day, when I was playing disc golf in like 2007, 2006, 2007 to like 2012 to 14, there was bad content online. It was really crappy videos sometimes of weird angles filming tournaments. It was really, really bad. And then one day my algorithm hit me with a YouTube channel called Jomez Pro. And then like from that, you see a bunch of other companies that make really dope
disco
footage of like tournaments and stuff. Cause that's the problem. It's like, how do you film this sport? Golf does it because they have those giant towers and everything is perfectly manicured. Like the filming of golf on the PGA Tour, it's so good.
Yeah.
The broadcast is so crispy.
So good.
It's crispy.
Yeah,
it's
like
crispy.
Some of the best broadcasts, and it's not hyped because the game is subdued.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I think about that a lot. I'm like, man, some of the best like commentators I hear are like golf.
And it's crazy.
But it's not hyped up like a football game or a basketball game.
Right,
it's a skill to that.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
be able to not suppress the quality with like being loud or trying to be entertaining or being out there. Like to be able to still have a quality broadcast without having to add too much personality, if any at all. There's a skill to that.
And I think that's the part of the game we see in change right now in the content world is that like people literally just want to see something that's appealing to the eyes, that's easy on the ears, and that you can keep replaying. I used to think, like, you got to have a cameraman that's walking around with you everywhere and do this, but it's like you really just got to find that piece within the day, and it's like we got all the tools now. You don't need an editor and all, like, we literally got apps that'll put the words there for you. We got apps that'll put the filter that make it look like it's color corrected, like, all of these tools is really handheld where you could cut and edit a reel in like 10 minutes for real. So it's like that part of it does make it way more sustainable where it's like it's really in your hands. It's up to you for real. Where I didn't used to always feel like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Man, I got to pay a cameraman to follow me around, be here, edit it, cut it for me, send it back. And it's just those steps is over with now. So every day, that's the plan at least.
Yeah, I mean, like, you worry about commodifying yourself, I guess is the argument. Like, well, I'm just building myself into a product, but it's like the alternative is going to some, you know, giant multi-million or multi-billion dollar sort of like institution or entity like the NCAA or the NBA or whatever, and then just be exploited that way. You know what I mean? So you might as well control your own, you know, destiny in that sense.
For sure.
And, so, and you don't got to go extremely far out your way to do it no more. Like I said, everything is not going to be extraordinary, but it's like feasible. This, you're going, if you're going to golf anyway, if you're going to go do disc golf anyway, get that good angle, get the, you know, get that 30 seconds and just put it out there. It's like, that's something you are going to do anyway.
Dude, we're going to get you out there, Devon. We're going
to
get you.
You've been trying to get me out there. And again, trying to get me out there.
Dude, we should film that.
This sound bite and then his first time out there. It's like, this guy there it is.
You know what? We might actually film that. That'd be hilarious.
There you go.
Watch out now. Frisbee right by your earlobe. Watch out now.
Wake up in this golf.
Chipper Jones.
Right by your ear.
Chipper Jones, bro. I guarantee you're going to hit every tree.
Chipper Jones.
Lumberjack out here. I can sense it now.
This is going to fly right by you like a saucer. Right
y'all
by you.
Is crazy, man.
Let's talk about the biggest news in the basketball world to start. And it ain't basketball. It's not the Anthony Edwards dunk. It's not the fact that Denver beat Minnesota in the race to the number one seed in the Western Conference. It's not the fact that Jalen Green has come out and said that, you know, the reasons why he's out here balling right now, which is the news that all y'all pop culture heads is all into. But it is LeBron James and J.J. Redick starting a podcast called Mind the Game. That's the biggest news in basketball this week.
Absolutely.
That surprised 100%. Me. But it makes so much sense. It's great.
Yeah, I want to hear instant reaction. Let's go.
I loved it.
It just caught me by surprise. I was like, was I like just not in the loop? Did I not see? It was like it really just kind of just hit you in the face this week.
What part surprised you? Is it that they're doing the podcast together? Is it that LeBron James has decided to even do a podcast? I mean, he's in the content space, but podcasting is a little different. He's doing more like, you know, TV, the shop and all of that. Is it the timing of it? Like, what is it that caught you by surprise when the news hit your feet?
I think a combination of the duo plus timing. I think it makes sense because it's two great basketball minds.
Yeah.
And I think J.J. Redick, he excels in his position. So I think LeBron is going to be alongside some of the best in the business. And I think I could say J.J. Redick is right now.
For sure. As an analyst, he's cooking.
So that part makes sense to me. I like the dynamic, but I just didn't see it coming.
Was it from a relationship standpoint? Did you not know LeBron was like that cool with J.J. Redick?
I mean,
because and the reason I asked, not to cut you off, but the reason I asked that is because it's one of the things that we kind of take for granted about LeBron. Like J.J. is a thing of the past in terms of as a basketball player, but they came in at around the same time 20 years ago. That if you don't remember, and J.J. went for 15 years. It's just LeBron is so damn old in the league right now. You kind of forget that. Oh yeah, they did damn near come in within years apart.
LeBron got drafted and entered the NBA before J.J. Redick and played after J.J. has retired.
Facts.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. So sometimes it'll just, even if you knew it or it makes sense to you, it'll just, you'll forget those relationships exist because it was so long ago.
I would say maybe not knowing how in-depth their relationship might have been for the simple fact, the surprising part is LeBron does so many things within his circle. It's all tight circle. From the shop talk, he does a lot of things within the same
agent, Rich Paul.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like you don't see him too much with somebody that you don't hear alongside him a lot. And so as I do believe their relationship has been firm and strong and long withstanding, but you just don't hear J.J. Redick and LeBron in the same sentence too much.
That was a massive move for J.J. Redick.
So that's what surprised me in it, you know?
That was a massive move for
J.J. But I'm not surprised. I'm not dang, I didn't know LeBron. I'm not surprised.
That's J.J. making, that's J.J. making, like, podcast mogul moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying to make it happen like that.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, man. One of the first reactions I got was, like, is LeBron going to continue to do this, like, shtick where he's, like, a eccentric genius sort of, you know what I mean, kind of cornball? Like, I mean, like, even right down to there are some moments in the podcast when he's like, yeah, even my coaches when I was a kid, they would just say, like, I've never seen anybody be able to do, you know,
process
plays
the
in
game
their minds
like that
in my life. And I'm like, yeah, LeBron, we know that. You know what I mean? Like, but he just has this air of, like, he's just so eccentric and famous that he's
it dominates.
There's no way of him even connecting down to J.J. Redick on a human level sometimes. That's what I gleaned from the first episode. But I would say that it's probably going to be a limited series thing. That would be my call. They're going to do this for like a certain number of
through
episodes,
the playoffs,
and then that'll just be it. It'll be like a let's dissect the game in these number of ways. That's what I thought of it. I don't see it like being like a long-standing thing.
You don't think they go to Vegas and do a live show,
too,
NBA Summer League?
I think it's going to be too
LeBron
good
LeBron
want
to own a team in
to.
Vegas? Yeah, I'm like,
that's
I'm
what
thinking.
I think
the, I'm thinking LeBron goes to Vegas for Summer League anyway. If they go and do a live show, he wants to own a team in Las Vegas.
Even if they
all
came
of that.
In with the plan for it
I
to
just,
be a limited series,
I think
it's going to do too well. You know,
I mean, I'm sure it's going to do well no matter what, but I guess the way that I'm coming from it is like, I know this is a little early, but you know, hey, let LeBron tell it because he's the one talking about, I've been a genius about this basketball stuff since the day I was born. But when I hear him talk about, when I do the podcasting thing, like right away, my first thought is like, oh man, it's probably going to be a long time before you're really good at this. Like maybe even longer that you're like willing to put into it. Because he's just so rich, bro.
He's just so out there. He's been
the chosen one since he was in high school. Like, his ability to do that long form, I just think that it might be a little suspect. That's all. And mind you, one episode.
My rebuttal to that is sometimes the information and the insight and where it's coming from is so much of value that it don't really matter how it's being communicated. It's going to be judged to some, but it's like he has experiences and insight and skill that is so in-depth and so different than anybody else that it's like, because it's him, you're going to receive
it anyway. I guess, but that's what I'm saying, though, just to that very point. Like, he's so out there. How are people going to understand what he's talking about?
But
in
it's
some
two
ways?
People. That's you know why I mean? You got J.J. Redick.
Like,
that's
is the J.J. that good to
he
be
is.
Able to, like,
J.J.'s
let me,
that good.
He
let
is.
Me synthesize
that
this?
He's, that's what J.J.'s I'm saying. That that's why I started with saying J.J. Redick excels in his role
J.J.'s
as an analyst.
What's the name of his company? What's he attached to right
324 it, Media or something? 3-4 to something today.
He's man. Good, he's though.
He's good.
He's
J.J.'s
you
good.
Know really good.
And he's been already doing that with his own podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He's been breaking this shit down to a science. Like, that's the role
he's
J.J.
Good,
is taking
man.
In all of this. And he's really good.
Saying.
He's good on the call. He's a really good in-game. He's part of the A-team. He's
ask.
Part of the A-team for the ESPN in-game broadcasters. Like,
yeah,
J.J.
Bro.
Is
that's
him.
What I'm saying. It's
and
two people.
On the media front, J.J. is the dude that is actually what it is that you're saying you don't know if LeBron is or isn't yet.
I guess you
J.J.
know.
Is that guy on a pure media front.
And that's what's neat.
And that balances it.
I guess some form of nepotism is good. You know what I'm saying? That's all. You know,
well, is it nepotism? And we'll get into it, this whole nepotism article. There's an
I'm
article
tired
that came
of these
up.
Big words, Brad, man.
Spencer, can
every
you give...
show you want to say something crazy. Conundrum. Like, I don't know what that is. Just talk to me, Pete.
I was foreshadowing a topic.
Go ahead, keep it. Bring us in.
Well, there's an article that came out in The Athletic that's talking about nepotism in sports, which is like, to put it in really plain terms, like people getting jobs because their parents did the jobs before them, or they're like legacied in. You know what I'm saying? And stuff like that. So they had this article in The Athletic that covered briefly at the beginning, you know, the perspective of, you know, where people come from when they see that and they say, well, hey. I noticed that these guys have these really high-powered jobs at young ages, and they also happen to have the last name of some veteran broadcast person.
Fact.
Yeah.
And it does happen all the time, as this article points out. But then it kind of goes into, like, trying to sympathize with them, which is, you know, I'm objective about that one way or the other. But we were just talking about it because, you know, I don't think that it's a good move for broadcasting if – you're going to consider broadcasting to be like a sport, which people do. They do. They think it's a sport. Like, the way that we think about it.
It has grown to that, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't always looked at like that.
It's like a martial art, almost. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's the way people think of it.
We see rankings and stuff now. Yeah. You know, we didn't used to see that much like that.
And if you're going to do that, then you can't, you know, drag somebody along because their mom or their dad was dope. Because that happens all the time, and it usually doesn't work out.
But what is it? What are we saying that about right now?
I would say about this. You called it LeBron and JJ being a form of nepotism. Are you talking about kind of this player-led content?
Yeah.
Or the fact that, you know, they're able to kind of have that you have, in air quotes, because y'all know I hate this phrase, but the new media, if you will, are they falling in line by only doing content with guys that play the game? Which I don't think all of them do. Let's be clear. Like, it's not all of them, but what you are starting to see is the players try to kind of rebuttal against what traditional media has been, and they're saying, well, let me team up with the next player, and now we're starting our own media broadcast companies, and we're the CEOs, and we're controlling the narrative, which I think is
that's the most prominent amount of, like, say, basketball podcasts or, like, basketball media, is that it's by players, and then they're kind of, like,
they're just coming together.
Coming together and grouping up.
You got knuckleheads. You got all the smoke.
Do I think that's the what?
The way that it's, like, going right now most predominantly.
You got all the smoke, two players. You got knuckleheads, players. You got Gilbert Arenas, mostly players. You got, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of these.
Paul George.
Paul George, I give him his credit. He went and got an actor. He went and got his homie from back in the day that, like, played high school ball with him. Like, KD, I think, is a little bit more raw and authentic. He got a random dude off Twitter. Draymond by himself. But I do think the players are.
It's media now.
And are they falling into nepotism by being that way, I guess, is the question.
I mean, no, because, again, they're falling into access. They just everything we just talked about.
I agree with you, by the way. I just, you know, putting the question out there as we speak about nepotism and broadcasting.
Can look a lot more professional instantaneously. And then they have the following instantaneously. So it's like, after one episode,
That largely has to do with just capital. They just have a shit ton of money.
But that's what I'm saying. When you have that,
it's access.
That's access. And so, that's what's happening. They have the most money, and this is the new norm when it comes to media. Player-led insight. And you get it during the season. Draymond doing his stuff after the game. Next day, everything I told you he said about Jalen Brunson, we're hearing that the next day.
That shit is crazy.
It was a point in time when you like, it's no way I'm giving that kind of credit. Even if he did cook us. There's no way I'm doing this. Let alone the next day. That's how I'm looking at it. You know what I mean? But it's like, this is the new wave. And it's a... People are
And LeBron's in it now.
That changes everything.
And again, LeBron's been doing content. Of course, like I said, you got the shop. He's had his uninterrupted network, but, like, the podcast game is a little different, and he has jumped in JJ Redick.
It keeps going back to what I'm saying is that there's an open playing field for everything.
Yeah.
It used to be a time.
That's why I don't complain about it. I love it.
A time when even certain music was not getting heard unless you was getting in certain rooms. Now people who you don't believe should have a platform in music has a platform. This is life now. You feel me? That's what I'm
saying.
That's where
we at. Accept it.
That's where we are.
Accept it and evolve with it. It's nothing to complain about. You know what I'm saying? But I also think the same goes for them as well. That's my only problem. Not even problem, but my only thing is, like, as long as they can accept that too, because they're going to have their own biases by only talking to and speaking with and rocking with other players.
Facts.
That's going to happen. Right. So I accept it as a journalist, as a broadcast. Of course, I did a little bit. I played too, and that has definitely helped me in my own career navigating both, but I also took more of a traditional route, going to school for it, getting a degree for it. You know, I mean, talk radio is big, but when I got into live in-game broadcasting, starting lower, Division III basketball, up to Division I, up to G League, like climbing the ranks in a way that somebody with that access that you speak of can skip a lot of those steps. I didn't get the opportunity or the leverage to be able to do that, so I could kind of identify with both. But I do believe the players themselves also have to accept that
that's how it's the game all fair is to game. Be
that's yeah. how the like, game like, is to be have, played.
Like that's that's what I'm
don't
saying.
Don't have because, a pity party because just it is have at it.
And it is a craft. And it's like if you don't respect the grind and like the art and the progression of it, then you're gonna put your homies in situations or other people or yourself in situations because this mic has power to the fact. Because here's the thing about it. What makes it hard is because it's like, okay, here's a microphone. All of it's going to be raw recorded, and you're going to talk from sometimes 1 to 3 hours. And then it's like millions of people are going to listen. Don't mess up. Yeah. Don't say one thing that's bad, or someone's going to come at you and tear your whole shit to smithereens. And I don't care who you are. That's tough to do, man. Tough
play from a talent level, though, I will
that's
say.
That's tough, bro.
Since the beginning of time with every broadcast team, there's
for
usually,
them.
There's
you know
usually
what I mean?
A
for really, really rich people. Anyway,
for one reason or another, in every broadcast team since I can remember, there's usually a favorite. Somebody peeks out. So it's like, even with the LeBron thing, you might not like the LeBron take or how he says things, but it's like the balance of J.J. Redick is way more powerful than one would think.
It's powerful.
You know, and we see that.
He's
seen
been
him
navigating
with Skip
it.
And Shannon when that, like, we see with dynamics and how it's always going to be one who you like.
Yo, I think you know? JJ does have that in mind, too. Just by the way he was talking at the end of it, he's like, I have things written down.
Jeez.
And
LeBron,
when we get to them,
man,
it's like, he has a whole, like, schedule.
And he's
syllabus.
Driving
he
the ship.
A syllabus
he's driving the ship.
He's driving the ship.
He's driving the ship.
LeBron is the bigger name. JJ is
it's
driving,
gonna be
he's driving
the I ship. Can't, I can't wait, you know?
It's
I can't
fire.
Wait.
It's
so,
fire.
That reason alone.
And so just really as an analyst, I love it. Like, that's the kind of nerd shit that I like to hear and listen to, and you know, I see it. I have to see and break down coverages, and you know what I mean? I got to call this out during games myself. So as an analyst, I love the nerd talk and, you know, cutting the fat, if you will, and just really kind of getting down to the nitty gritty of it. I love it.
If I wanted to continue, I would do a thing where I go, okay, here, LeBron, I have like the play by play or like the game cast analysis of like this 5 minute stretch in like a really important game where you did this and this and this. And then I'd be like, I have the whole thing right here. And then I'd quiz him. I'd be like, okay, take me through the play. Because he always says, like, he has, like, a photographic memory.
Yeah,
for
that would be fine.
I'd be like, just take me through the whole thing.
And I
just
think
see,
all
like,
that kind of shit is coming.
You know what I mean? And grade him and be like, how close did he get to knowing exactly what happened?
And that's all I'm saying,
that would
bro.
Be sick. Yeah. I want that. Yeah. I don't want to see him necessarily drinking, like, $19,000 bottles of wine. Talking about, you know, they thought I was a basketball ghost or something. I'm like, all right.
And again, that's kind of, that is, without taking too much more time on it, that is kind of what I'm noticing is the narrative, too, of the video. Everybody's doing this alcohol on the table, kind of sit down conversation. You know what I mean? And I think it's going to continue to evolve and get more creative with that. I like the dynamic of analyst, basketball player collaborations. That might be a new wave. Like, it could open a lot of doors, but that's what I see with it right now.
I subscribed immediately. So yeah, I'm already locked in.
Yeah,
I'm locked in.
I definitely tuned in.
It's gonna be limited series. It's nepotism. I subscribed. I'm locked in.
Let's talk March Madness, man. I ain't filled out not a bracket.
I filled out too.
I ain't filled out not a bracket. But I'm going to do it, but I ain't did it yet. And like the clock is ticking because when this episode comes out, it's going to be up.
It's the first year in the history of my life that I know more about what's going on in women's college than men's college basketball.
Then what you thinking? What you thinking? We like to lead with the women around here, so... What you thinking? Just in terms of, you don't have to tell me round by round, but maybe region final four. Kind of who's your final four picks on the women's side?
It's hard to, you know who I'm going with, the best in the game right now. It's hard to go against Caitlin. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
I just think that.
When you said that, I immediately just, my mind said South Carolina.
Yeah.
So,
when
you said best in the game, I was like,
he's saying
no, the best player. The best player in the game.
I know,
yeah. But again, South Carolina, obviously, they're a force to be reckoned with. And then on an individual player level, I've been following Juju all season. And I think the talk about like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese has not kind of quieted what Juju has done, but if you really paying attention, like, she annihilated this year. Like,
she's
numbers
force.
Were like crazy as a true freshman.
She's
I'm talking
force.
About crazy, like record breaking, shattering it. So that's what I mean, like on an individual tip, like I know more about what's going on with women's basketball and the kind of numbers they putting up as opposed to the men. I'm just being real with you, you know, but it's like I said, with Caitlin Clark and them, like they could be beat, but she's the best in the game, like score, just a score, elite. So
I think the problem is I don't even think Caitlin Clark going to the Final Four. I think if she runs into LSU in that Elite Eight game, I got LSU in that game, and for the same reason as last year, I think LSU just is far more athletic. I think at matchups wise, it favors LSU as a team. Now LSU, I don't think is as deep this year. So they don't – I think last year they had a really good Morris. They had a great stable of guards. They had Ice Spice have a crazy game. You know what I mean? The LSU Stupid. Ice Spice. That, you know what I mean? Like, it was – I don't know if they got that, which is kind of, you know, why – you know, I don't think LSU wins it this year. But at the same time, I do think in the head-to-head, Caitlin would want to hope that – LSU does not make it all the way to that Elite Eight game, because if they do, I got that athleticism overtaking Iowa.
With the LSU thing, why I didn't mention them, as far as over Iowa, I think it's a composure thing with them. And it's going to be really staying grounded and level-headed through the whole process.
It's hard to win two in a row.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they deal with a lot and go through the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we're really just being honest, by far.
For sure.
So with that, again, we're talking about 21-year-olds, 20-year-olds. Like,
only thing is you can't deny the experience, because they have been there before, but they were new on the team, on the scene.
And the talent.
They were more so hunters. Now they are absolutely the hunted.
They are the hunted. The hunted with a little less depth. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm anxious to see them. You see the drama, you see the fighting, you just see a lot that goes around that team, and it doesn't look like a recipe to take it all the way there, even with the talent. And
that's why I said, but
with their talent and the quote, like what they've already done, they're at least to get to the Final Four. I got them at least going there. So that's
LSU. Yeah. That's why I said,
like, even if they fall apart, you know what I'm saying?
My thing is, if they both get all the way to the Elite Eight, that's a problem for Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, if LSU, you know, because that means you get through the round of 64, 32, and 16. All right, you kind of rolling now, and they're all in. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
I think for LSU, they need to get upset by the Sweet 16, so the way they don't even get this to the Elite Eight, and you can avoid them because they do have the experience enough to know once they're rolling, they're fucking rolling.
And that's what I was kind of speaking to, because I'm speaking more from an upset standpoint.
Yeah.
It would have to happen that way. That's what
I mean. If they go head to head, I'm rolling with LSU all the way.
Like you get one game, a slip up, a technical at the just something. And it changed. That's what happens in college. That's where I was speaking more to, you know? So getting there, I agree, but you got to get there.
I really want to say that. So you got – I got LSU going to the Final Four.
LSU.
You got Iowa.
I got Iowa.
Okay, so that's coming out of the Albany 2 region. The Albany 1 region is South Carolina at that's the tip-top, of course. At number 2 is Notre Dame. They got to get through Hidalgo, but I think that happens as well.
Yeah. Now, that's a team, you know, when you talk about a young freshman doing stuff compared to USC, that really doesn't have that depth looking down the bench that USC, I think, has a little bit more stout with, personally. Anyway, and we'll get to that, but I still got South Carolina.
Yeah, South Carolina, I think, is unanimous.
I do like
side.
Hannah Hidalgo.
Hidalgo. Woo!
Absolute killer, man.
Woo!
She's a killer.
But I can't go against South Carolina. Unfortunately, I hate to say it. I mean, let's go to Regional 3 in Portland. That's USC's region. That's Juju. I think UConn's going to come out, though. I do. And they're sitting at number 3. Number 2 is Ohio State, who obviously is really good as well as the number 2. But I think UConn is the team that has the experience, that has just been through a lot of shit with injuries especially. And I just got a feeling, it's hard for me to go against Gino Auriemma, and he's got Paige Bueckers back, who he didn't have last year. And as much as I love Juju, she's a true freshman. I think they can get, you know, to where if they matched up, it would be in the Elite Eight as well. But I think in an Elite Eight matchup, I'm still giving UConn, you know, the advantage over Juju, even though Juju is fucking Juju. And we went and saw Juju a year and some change ago now when she played here in high school. And it's the best women's basketball player I ever seen. And you know, D-Boy, I've seen a lot of them. But with my own two, I never seen nothing like Juju. But
it's a team
game. Still year one. And she's got a good team, though. And that's why they were able to win the Pac-12 tournament, because she didn't play great during the tournament, especially in that championship game.
They're number one.
They're number one, for sure. But they're number young.
Did you see that, too? Did you see that little social media thing that they did? It was like last week or something, where Cheryl Miller came to SC and took pictures of Juju.
Yeah,
I thought that was so heads up by SC and just everybody involved, because this is what it is. It's coming, and I got SC.
You got SC.
I'm dropping the hammer. I think that she's going to get there.
When you got the best player in the game, it's hard to lose.
She's going to be in the championship game.
Yeah, it's hard to lose when you got the best player in the game. And then, like I said, it's a team game, but they're number one. So, again, obviously, the team ain't no slouch.
You don't get to number
either.
One if you have a bad basketball team.
And that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they're the truth. They're the truth. But
That's what I mean. Look at this
I hear you about UConn. Best women's college coach of all time.
One of the best players of all time.
Yeah. Well,
I think if they got to face UConn in the Elite Eight game, UConn is just a little bit more built for it as a program. I'm not saying Juju's not still the best player on the floor.
Yeah, she'll get hurt.
But I think program for program, I think UConn still has that talent. Aaliyah Edwards, like, they still have a lot of talent and a lot of experience to really go on a run in that region. So I'm going to go UConn, even though Juju's my favorite player. I hate to have to do it, but this year, Juju will get hers. She'll get hers, but this year, that's what I'm rolling with. And then Regional 4, I'm picking another number one seed. Texas is going to be an issue. I think Texas is – I actually wouldn't be surprised if Texas won it all this year.
I liked them last year.
I'm going to go as far as to say
sleepers.
That. I wouldn't be surprised if Texas, we talking South Carolina, we talking Iowa, LSU, UConn, USC, ba-da-da-da-da. I wouldn't be surprised if Texas, I think they got a pretty favorable region.
Road to it. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
NC State's a tough out.
They got a pretty favorable road to it.
That's a weak region.
And it's like, I don't see them losing. You know what I'm saying? You got... It could be Alabama, Florida State, Utah, Gonzaga, UC Irvine, any of those teams that they got to play through the Sweet 16. I think they're rolling through that shit. I think they don't really have a problem until, and I think they beat the shit out of Stanford. If they have to play Stanford, who's the number two? Who's the number two in their region? I think the biggest problem for them is NC State.
That's what I think too.
That's who they got to try to avoid, but they wouldn't have to play them until the Elite Eight game. So, I think I like Texas.
I'm kind of right there with you on that too.
You guys are awesome. You guys, y'all really know. Like, I think I know some. Y'all know this. Y'all deep in it. Y'all deep on
we
it.
We really the women's y'all game. We were having a conversation. Let's just talk about it off the record in the car today. We were just kind of having a general conversation about the last same shit we talk about on here. We talk about off here too. But you were kind of talking about like the women's game and really more so like as a broadcaster, like your dreams and aspirations more so align with pursuing the women's game rather than the men's game, which I thought was very interesting. I love the women's game, but especially with where I'm at now, I just want to get to the league.
For sure.
But for you, you know, you felt otherwise.
I mean, dude, I just really like broadcasting. I think it's a form of like my entire life, man. Since I was a wee little guy, people have been putting microphones in my face and being like, you should do something with this. You know, even my dad, shout out to my dad. He'd be like, we'd get in conversations all the time. And he would just be like, man, I wish that you were a preacher. I've always thought if you were a preacher, I'm like, dude, no way. You know, because I went to Christian school and then I grew up in church and stuff, which, you know, is what it is. But you know, I just love broadcasting. I think it's so fun, and I think it's cool. It's like rapping or like singing or a musical performance.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be a part of stuff that I think is artistic from like a, you know, like a ground up level.
Mm.
You know, that's what I like about that kind of stuff. I don't like stuff that I do to, I don't like myself or things like I do to feel like tainted about what I'm doing or like affected by what's popular or what's already been like laid out before me. Because what I feel like is that it devalues what I think about the people around me. You know what I mean? Like, I think that my shit is so dope. The music that I play or like the podcast that we've been doing for 7+ years or whatever.
Yeah.
Because of the people around me.
Yeah.
You know, we make up our own, you make up your own slang and your own way of talking and you create your own art. And we talk about it on this podcast all the time. Like, you make what is around you matter.
Yeah.
And when you do that,
yeah,
then it's like, there's no way that what your art or, you know what I'm saying, or your pursuits can be invalid anywhere because it comes from like a pure place.
I get what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's an element of growing with the game that's tight and it holds near and dear. You know what I mean? And, that's why I got such a good connection with golf, too. Obviously, golf has been established just as women's basketball has, too. But you really watched the shift in golf during the pandemic. You watched a 1,000% increase in the urgency and the access and just the interest in the game of golf. Tenfold, right? So it's like, when you feel like you got in and you got that story, like, yeah, the gyms was closed, the pandemic happened, like, social distancing, we was golfing, and you watch what it was to what it is now, and you feel like you're a part of growing the game, like,
yeah,
it's a big deal to that. So like you said, with the NBA and in men's basketball analysts already kind of being established and having this way to it, it's like women's basketball, and it's growing, and you starting and going through the ranks. It's like you said with getting his degree and stuff, you feel like, man, I went through it with them from the college basketball girls. Right. Like, you've seen it.
And that's been the story of my career.
See? And it's something about that it's art. Like you said, you feel a part of of it all.
Of course. And I feel like also, like, you know, I mean, it might have been very, very recent to the shift, but I was at least there a little bit before, like, anybody gave a shit. And so now that I'm, like, here and I see it, and I'm like, okay, well, I care about this, so I want to make sure that I'm watching and paying attention to what people are doing because I don't want to see it go in this crappy way
that
I see other places. And I'm like, man, I don't even necessarily know if I want to do that. That shit's not even cool anymore because of the folks that get down there.
You feel like
shit.
You got, you know, actual impact.
That's been the story.
Right?
That's been the story of my career, especially when it comes to, like, live in-game broadcasting. Like, with Pacific, when I reached out to Pacific didn't have an analyst. So I wasn't like replacing somebody. I was creating a position that didn't even exist there at the time that I was pursuing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was no position. When I went to Portland State, same thing. Matt was doing TV for Portland State by himself. And Matt came to fill in with me because I went from being the analyst, I was still the analyst when Matt went off because we had like a year gap between when Matt left from being play-by-play at Pacific to me ultimately becoming play-by-play at Pacific. But during that year, when I had another partner that I was working with, Matt came to fill in for him from Portland State. He had an availability to come fill in for him and work with me at Pacific, which Matt was the person I worked with my first year as an analyst. And I'm just catching up with Matt, like, hey, how you liking Portland State? It's your first year at Portland State, you know, off the air type stuff. And he's like, man, it's tough because for basketball, I'm not doing radio. I'm doing TV, and I'm doing TV by myself. And it's hard. Ding, 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 ding. The ringers went off in my head like, y'all don't have an analyst? And I'm sitting here at Pacific being an analyst at the D3 games? I know Valerie Cleary. Hey, let's have a conversation with him. I came in mid-season to become Portland State's analyst because they never had one. And then even fast forward 5 years later to now with the Remix, I'm broadcasting for them in the inaugural season. I'm the first ever broadcaster for them, so I'm able to be a part of the original story of this team and its foundation, and who knows what it's going to grow into. Who knows what I'm ultimately growing to. So I understand from like a connection standpoint, because that's really been the story of my career, is I've been able to grow the positions I've had because I ultimately like created them in a way and they became what it was they've became. And I've been able to elevate from level to level because of it. And I think that's a part of the journey that I appreciate a lot.
Yeah. I mean, and also it's way less drama.
Yeah.
It's also way less drama than the men's side. Mm-hmm. There's way more shit that you have to talk about on the men's side that you're like, this isn't even basketball,
dog. And that's what I'm saying. It's a lane. It's a part of the impact and what you want to, how you want to operate. Yeah. And I could see, like, you say, I know you. So you saying it is fitting. Somebody who listened, it might be like, why wouldn't you want to do, but it's like me knowing and me seeing, it's like, that makes a lot of sense.
It's great to
identify that.
Yeah, because it is.
It's limitless. Now you're creating a resume to build and hopefully move up in the ranks. Like, you know,
I'm curious to know because I've been around Pacific Hoops since both men and women's team were bad. Shout out to them both going to the postseason this year. I've been around for all of that. So my connection to like the success of the women is cool because I was able to be there for the start of it. But I also remember the times even before that I'm still attached to and connected to and was around for. So it's cool to see how far they've come from. But for you coming in at Pacific, like you got your start with a really good women's program as well in comparison to the men's team, who we were calling games for both teams. Do you think that has kind of played a part in your connection to the women's game is the direct work you've done as a broadcaster with Pacific University women, with them being up to
knowing
near the top?
Him, yes.
Yeah.
No, it's funny, bro.
Because he would say, man, I was pool basketball. I'm not going.
No, bro.
Did that open your eyes a little bit more to have this train of thought?
Definitely. And I think about it because it's like, it could have been anybody. It could have been anything. You know what I mean? It was going to come ultimately, I think. But I think it's really rare, and I got lucky because, you know, it's kind of the first time that you're like, okay, I'm up against, really up close against this team in a way that the average fan will never get to be.
Yeah.
And so when I was up against that, it just so happened to be like a really great team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think that especially we know that at that level or just at any level of basketball, but especially like the further you go down, like the team is it's the most important because you don't have athletes out there that are like, jump out their socks out the gym type. Like that. So everybody has to just be like, you have to maximize everything every ounce of what you barely have to like put together something that becomes like poetry. Like basketball becomes this music,
poetry in motion, baby.
This expression of,
it's like magical how when everybody played a part,
bro,
it's a
like
machine.
Sometimes I'm watching. Sometimes I feel like I'm watching basketball, like sitting in the arena, and when it's really going, like I'll be watching the court and I watch the game, and then I turn around and I watch like my friends, or I see the people in like the stands, or if I'm outside at a park, it's like I'm watching the same expression of human life.
Yeah,
it's like it doesn't look any different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what that Pacific University women's team had. That was just like, they, you know, basketball being bigger than life, or having stuff that's like, that looks like life in this grand way. They had that thing, man.
Did he tell you the story of me seeing them at the mall the day after that loss?
No.
Oh, I didn't.
The universe is crazy, bro. I hadn't been to a game all year. Obviously went to the biggest game of the season, and it was unfortunate.
But it was going.
It was
in
great.
There.
You know,
it was a great environment.
The next day, I go to the Washington Square Mall, and all three of the starting best players is walking in the
Sydney,
mall.
Sydney, Riley, and Briley.
Yeah,
bro. Sydney, Riley, and Briley.
He did
Thank
call me
you.
About that. Yeah.
Bruh, I'm talking about, I'm walking this way, they're walking this way. We run into each other. Perfect me. I'm like, yo, I'm Pounce's brother. Like, I was at the game. Like, y'all did a great job. Like, it almost brought tears in my eyes how much I was invested in hoping for, you know what I mean,
it's
a different
intimate
outcome.
Feeling.
But, like, even just seeing y'all three right now walking the mall, like, this dope to me. You feel me? And congratulations on a great college career. And they, like, you could tell they really was like, oh, at first they was like, and then it's like, oh, Dan, even that impact, it was like the day before, I had no clue if I would have walked right past it.
Yeah, and they had no clue you were my brother.
No clue. It's like, that's
I always
tight,
see that shit,
know?
Though. Like, you'll say that, or you'll be like, that's my brother. Everyone will always do this. Look for a second, they'll be like, well, that's not, Yeah, exactly.
And so it was just kind of, like I said, just full circle again, complete side story, but
right.
I thought that was dope.
Well, I mean, that dude, they had that, bro. I mean, they just play basketball the right way. If you love the game the right way, game's going to love you back. So.
That's women's basketball. That's women's basketball in a nutshell.
That's what women's basketball is, man.
Off the court. I'm talking about it was no space between them. They're walking three side by side, even in the mall, bro.
Yeah, it looked like a movie. Yeah.
The day after, I'm talking about you couldn't fit a piece of paper in between them. They walk in unison, bro.
But that's
that was the, raw.
That's what you got to come into. You got to come into that.
That's why I brought that up.
All of us have been a part of this the last like two, three.
It was deep. It was deep.
It's like this.
I'm like, oh, y'all needed each other. It was wild.
And it's been like the biggest inspiration because that. I mean, that's now I'm like, dog, this is totally what I want to do. Like, I want to play music. I want to do my, you know, whatever I do. But this is like. It just feels like the culmination of everything I've ever done, playing music or trying to be funny or just whatever. It's all right there. Even above this. Yeah, I mean, I love podcasting and chilling with you guys.
Yeah, but not broadcasting, it's lit, bro.
And you're being entertained.
It's a different level of adrenaline.
God damn, it takes over.
I never thought about it till right now, and that's hard, but it's one of the few things where you're being entertained while you're entertaining.
Well, I mean, for real.
Like, if you're consuming the entertainment while you're entertaining.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying?
If you're a comedian, if you're a rapper, if you're performing, you're only
it's a double dose. Yeah, that's very true.
That's hard. I never thought of it. That's unique. Thank you.
That's the title of the episode. Being entertained while you're entertaining. How about that?
It's true though. Tell me another. I'm trying, dude. Of course, I'm racking my brain. Can you think of something else?
I guess if you're like one of those people that handles like whales at SeaWorld, like that's probably cool to look at. Look and watch you doing a flip. You're like, damn, that was pretty tight. Anyway, Shamu, ladies and gentlemen.
That's fire. That's the title of the episode.
Yeah.
I do want to take it back to the neighborhood one time. And D-Boy, I'm sure you've seen some of this. We haven't even talked about it yet, which is crazy. The Vallejo Hall of Fame. DeMarcus Nelson, Bobby Guillory, it was some people.
Tony Longmire.
It was the Vallejo Hall of Fame, the class, the 2024 class. I more so particularly want to shout out DeMarcus Nelson. I was having a conversation with Spencer about our dynamic, our family dynamic with the Nelson family.
Right.
And for those that don't know, DeMarcus Nelson, you know, went to Vallejo High School. His senior year transferred to Sheldon High School in Sacramento, was a McDonald's All-American, went to Duke, played in Duke, played for a little bit of time in the NBA, and then had a stellar career across the water. But DeMarcus Nelson, you know, D-Boy and I are from Vallejo. He grew up in Vallejo. He's from Vallejo as well. And his younger brother, Darius Nelson, is my childhood best friend. And so I was talking about like the people that had the most influence on me as a child when it came to basketball, like single influence. You know what I mean? Obviously, the first thing you tend to think when you think about that is your favorite player in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Kobe, you know what I mean? Would be a quick right answer. Like, who's the most? You think about that. But then I started really kind of digging deeper as I was just kind of reminiscing myself as I've learned about him becoming a Hall of Famer and all of the stuff that being around him and being around that family when I was in the third and fourth grade that I was being exposed to just from sleepovers and being in the house and going to the workouts with them and going to the games, sitting with them at the games. Like, I was a fan, you know what I mean? Because me and Darius was inseparable. So I'm sitting with the youngest brother and the rest of the family at all of these games where it's lines down the street to see a McDonald's All-American in a town that has a 100,000-person population, a very small town. You know what I'm saying? But we had a dude, and so I was really thinking, like, he might be one of the single biggest influences on why I'm still in this basketball shit today, even in the seat that I sit in as a broadcaster. So I wanted to give him his flowers, and you obviously can expound
facts
on that.
Facts. And, like, we've watched the world change so much now. Like, you got college players being able to make money and stuff, but it's like we got to see up front and like close and personal what it's like for people to really want somebody in the eighth grade and the ninth grade.
Youngest player ever to commit to Duke.
You know what I mean? Without youngest even ever. Getting into detail about what measures people went to, like, we got to be up close early to see what it's like to know that you could really be a star. Like you said, outside of Michael Jordan, like, that's on TV, but it's like, you're watching star treatment down to the high school gym. Like, you don't see regular season high school gyms packed out no more or sold out. You got to prepare to get to the game early because, don't get me wrong, the team was tight. They he had squat.
Yeah.
But him, single-handedly, he was Showtime TV right in your backyard.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? To the point where his relationship with his little brother was so great. I was jealous, and they loved our whole family.
Yeah.
He was in house. I was in house.
I was in house.
You feel his me? I'm an older brother.
His mom giving us
pick him up from their house type stuff. He was there.
His mom giving us finger waves. She, like, I was, like, intimately. Like, his sisters, his sister, his brother, like, I was there. I was going to these workouts and learning what it was to actually work out to be a great basketball player in the third and fourth grade that I had like zero concept of. And it was like a breeding ground almost. I watched him come. I watched us wake up, Marky gone. By the time about an hour should go by, here he come walking in the house. He come eat his meal, you know, kick it with the family. About an hour or two later, he's going again to go work out. Come back. Like, I saw intimately the phone. I'm hearing the phone call. Like, I was in that shit. And it's
to give you a clear picture of what kind of platform he was on, we talking high school basketball nationwide. The names in the same sentence was LeBron James.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Nelson, Leon Poe.
Yeah, it was
like that.
Kendrick Perkins.
You feel me?
They all played on the Oakland Soldiers together. They were AAU teammates. That's probably the greatest AAU team ever assembled.
To have that not only in your backyard, but right here, it was like, bruh, we seen it all early.
It was wild.
You feel me? And then a quick tip on Bobby Guillory. Growing up playing with them in football and stuff. It's like, we just got to see a lot of realistic examples of like, oh, this really is the steps. You could see it when he was 8, and then he stayed on it, and he ran track, and he stayed in shape, and he went to this. You seen the real process.
Yeah, we saw it early.
Ninth, eighth grade, a regimen of 4 times a day at the gym. People don't work out like that. Dads is not taking their kids to the gym that many times.
6 a.m., Rodman Gym, cutting the lights on to the gym.
But like, you really see it's not magic.
It's dark outside. It was work. And it was like, you know what I'm saying? And I got to really see that and witness that firsthand. And I really think that's a reason why, like, I pursued basketball. I'm 6'4", but I'm a thicker guy. I didn't particularly have what you would call a basketball body. You know what I'm saying? I had probably more of a football, tight end, linebacker type of a body. But being exposed to shit like that.
In college, you was definitely more basketball. Early on, no, you definitely had more of a football body.
A football body early on. Yeah, my childhood days.
I could have seen you being a fucking slugger, too.
I did that, too.
No, you're right.
You know what I mean? I had my error. My last game, my last baseball tournament I ever played, I was MVP, and I was like, I'm done with this shit because I wanted to go play basketball. I still have my coaches tell me to this day, man, I wish you never quit baseball because I was kind of a late bloomer in baseball. I was one of those where early on, you know what I mean? I had a moment where I had to transition over to like fast pitch. I was playing farm, hitting that shit to the trees. Yeah, it wasn't no fence.
He was hitting the ball over the fence already at 10 years old. Like, I was more contact. Like you said,
every time.
Slugger.
Yeah, I'm a slugger. I'm a strikeout. I'm a strikeout. But when I connect, oh boy, I'm ascended. But know what I'm saying? And then I got moved up because I was playing in the league still. My age was the coach's pitch to you. And then I got moved up to minors from farm. I was the only player that gets moved up. And they pitching up there. You know what I'm saying? And I'm, I'm a little nervous stepping into this plate now because I'm going up against real pitching out here. And Darius was one of the pitchers out there. Yeah. He played at that little league with us. That throwing gas. Big boy on the mound. Humming. You know what I'm saying? And so, that was really an error. But I really was thinking about and reflecting about that with DeMarcus Nelson. Like, he is up there when it comes to like single biggest influences
basketball
on my
been magical
love
in my
for
life,
the game. Yeah, it's been magical.
Well, it's crazy.
Space Jam, oh, everything. It's been magical, man.
Basketball's been great.
Well, it's crazy because like we were talking about though, the exposure to all these different sports, like that's what the West Coast does. Like, yeah. They're not out here trying to find like you do specifically football, yeah, or you're specifically a basketball player, like
yeah, Texas and stuff.
It's yeah, not yeah, like, yeah. Like, breeding, like Nebraska, breeding football yeah, players. Yeah, breed yeah, football yeah. Players yeah. Breeding basketball yeah, players right. In New York and yeah, on the yeah. East Coast.
We had yeah. diverse baseball travel to everything.
Yeah, yeah, we did it all. We played
yeah,
it all.
Man, that's hard.
But yeah, no, that was fire.
Great
man.
Hall of Fame year for Vallejo.
Great Hall of Fame year. That was a fire class that ended up getting sent. I do want to talk about Dr. Dre. Probably my favorite hip-hop producer ever, getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I feel like, damn, I would have imagined he had one a long time ago.
That's why it ain't no surprise to me, because I thought that it's was not a, already...
That is the surprise to me. Yeah, it's like, what, yeah. I thought he already had one.
I thought it was already cemented.
Like, that Dr. Dre
what took
from
so
L.A.?
Long.
What took so long for that to happen?
I know Snoop just him, though, right?
I know
Didn't
Snoop
a couple
got
other
one.
People get it?
Cube, I think, has one, too. I mean, they
Does
should all
Eminem
have one.
Have one? Does 50 Cent have one?
I believe 50 Cent does.
I don't know.
His whole crew, that's what I would think.
I don't think I would, 50 got one.
I'm sure, has one. I'm sure Trey has one.
He's L.A., you know what I mean? You talk Hollywood Walk of Fame, we like L.A., you think he'd be one of the first, because I know Snoop Ben had one.
Yeah, I'm looking at 50 Cent. It looked like 50 Cent had one already. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm a little confused.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 50 Cent got his in 2020. Yeah, that's why I'm like, overdue. I'm a little confused that Dr. Dre.
I mean, Dre hasn't really been in the game doing
man,
anything.
On,
we
man.
Haven't
anything
seen him.
Anything that came from Dre is Dre.
And Dre has some bad things hanging over his head, too, feel like.
Yeah,
and I think
true.
Politics always play a role. Dre hasn't always been the best in the public's eye.
For sure.
In the industry eye, too. So
And he does have the personality of not wanting... He's a producer at heart. So they like to be behind the scenes about theirs. You know? So and have that ain't so behind the scenes as being on having a ceremony of you being... Put on the Hollywood star.
He's
I mean,
smiling.
You know, on the Walk of Fame.
To
yeah,
thumbs
like
up, smiling.
That's not so. That's not that much of that. But still, congratulations to him. I mean, that's Dre, man. That's the greatest hip hop producer of all time, if you ask me.
That's Dre.
Call me West Coast bias. Call whatever. Call your uncle. Call your mama. Call whoever. Hey, it's Dr. Dre.
Dre.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was the West, you know? Like, the West, I think, still is it when it comes to, you know what I mean, what we were able to ultimately, the level that we were ultimately able to take hip-hop to, it was just unmatched, dog.
Dre.
I would say about Dr. Dre, I'd say pound for pound, nobody's beats knock harder than Dr. Dre's. Pound for pound, top to bottom, that shit just...
Knocks
roofs off houses.
Hard.
Yeah.
Crazily.
And hard. Identifiable sound. Like, you know when it's a Dre beat. You just know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's the surprise. It took too long.
Let's do Taking L's. We bringing Taking L's back. Ooh, you can think about
that.
It. Spencer, I know you got one. I'm going to let
that
you.
Is a report came out earlier this week where Bruno Mars is allegedly in... Like $50 million debt.
It was
debt.
False. They spoke out on it.
Well,
that don't mean it was false.
I mean, on
some conspiracy shit, but I know, yeah.
Well, he does a lot
they
of
own him.
I hear that he does a lot of cocaine, and you know, there's no better place to do that than Vegas. So if he's kicking it in Vegas a lot, it stands to reason that he probably gambles. So it's not necessarily.
I just don't know how. Again, I ain't completely never played far-fetched. With that kind of money, but I don't know how you can. Owe a casino that kind of money. They want they.
Oh, no, no. Ends. Elvis Presley was. That was the story of Elvis
I
Presley,
mean,
though, in Vegas.
But
when
that's
you're,
back then, you know, but again, with that
yeah,
kind of money, you
that
can kind have
of money,
it's
going to get funny.
Mike Taking L's took a nosedive, it sounds like what's happening here. That's not even a real thing that happened. Dang.
Well, I mean,
no,
we don't
they
know.
Just,
they could,
they're
they
covering it
out,
up
yeah.
as if it didn't happen.
Because,
but,
again, MGM came out and said that's not true. But again, you can't
they not
going to
expose
tab
that
of 50
anyway.
Million because they look bad too. So they saying, oh, well, our client, we'll
know one thing he's for got sure. like a new club or something that's opened up in Vegas under that kind of parent company, MGM line. I forget exactly okay. what hotel, but like he's got some business. He's also a resident
performer. So
he's got a residency
for free for 10 years until he work off this. So it could be true. I'm not saying it's a nosedive because I'm just saying they said, oh, that's false, but who knows?
I would love to see Bruno Mars having to perform to save himself from mob debt. That's Imagine crazy. How hard he would go, bro.
That's taking
like
the hell.
Like the rents due would be an understatement to see Bruno Mars out there.
Playing for his life. That is one person I do want to see perform live, though.
You know what? He still gets my taking L's because it's like, bro, drop something, man. Your last solo project was excellent. You know that Sonic stuff was cool, but you know Anderson too. Everybody
yeah,
needs to
Anderson,
drop.
Anderson, I'm
everybody
ready for a solo Anderson project. Yeah, I'm ready for everybody to drop.
Everybody.
Y'all too. Everybody. Y'all included.
Yeah, let's everybody. Go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. Around the corner like
y'all included. Right. I'm ready right. for some hey, drops.
It's ready.
Especially it's ready. After yeah. this little oh, stretch of weather we just had
it's
the other day.
Get fun.
This little stretch of weather we just had. I said, oh, yeah, that means some music. It has to be coming.
It's going.
Yeah.
John Collins took an L this
that's,
week.
That's the same L that I got. John it's Collins. Right here. Close the laptop.
On the dunk. That was a nasty dunk. And one, pop it back in, make the free throw.
That's a nasty dunk.
That's
a
L.
That's the L I had.
Hella elegante. Hella. And that's what I was yep. going
to be. On that note, we are going to leave y'all the only way that we know how before we go to watch the Portland Trail Blazers beat up on the Los Angeles Clippers. Fightin' how about Blazers. That? The fighting Blazers, baby. On that note, stay woke and go in. Yeah.